Coming up this week on The Course of Life, it was a tropical storm versus the PGA Tour all weekend long. We had a Monday night finish with a win that was a long time coming. Plus, tune into everything else going on in the world of golf and outside of the world of golf, including a new show that I love and a big life event announcement for our co-host friend Michael as well, too. Plus, a fun content announcement for football season. And this week's guest is Jesse Florkowski, a disabled golf champion who, I swear to you, hits the ball at least 5, maybe 10 times better than I do. And he does it with one arm. We'll get his full story. Plus, we always end with food. And all of it brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. Michael, end of summer or going into fall right now. I think it's peak fire pit season right now, right? It's that time of year when it's just season's starting to turn and maybe you can get those nice fireside chats and those wonderful nights out, those enchanted evenings we all star for, you know?
You know, it's getting to be fire season as it starts to get cooler in the evening, so it's actually worth lighting that fire as opposed to, you know, when it's still 90 degrees.
I'm not talking about the big, bad, dangerous ones. We don't like those at all. The ones we do like are the nice, portable, reusable, and safe bonfires. And that's exactly what City Bonfires are. They're easy to light with a stick lighter, easy to put out. You can put it in your beach bag, backpack. You can take it with you anywhere you go to add that fun little piece of ambiance to any occasion. So again, it's City Bonfires, citybonfires.com. And our promo code is COLFIRE. Coal Fire, C-O-L Fire, to save 10% off any order on their website. Check out City Bonfires. They got all sorts of packages for bonfires and s'mores kits as well. You can't forget the s'mores kits to go with the fire. So check them out, citybonfires.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, the playoff train rolls on. I'm not talking about the FedEx Cup playoffs starting with the Northern Trust. I'm talking about the playoffs to determine the winner of the event. Yes. At the Northern Trust, because again, we had another playoff to determine a winner. And this time it didn't matter how well you played over the course of the week or that 60 you posted on Saturday or the day off in between. All that matters is a Cam Smith put his ball out of bounds on the first playoff hole. And Tony Finau cruised to victory after like 4 years, 5 years of not being in the winner's circle.
Yeah, I just checked my calendar. What year is it right now? Where are we at? Tony Finau won again? What on earth is happening?
I think it's his second PGA Tour win, right?
It is. Yeah, he had that lone win, 2016 Puerto Rico Open. Yeah. 1,975 days later, Mike, he gets win number two at Liberty National. And like I said at the top, a strange Monday finish, because we immediately knew Saturday afternoon, as the guys were still on the course, Mike, on Saturday afternoon, we knew with the storm looming and heading on a direct route for New England and the Northeast, that there was going to be no play at all on Sunday, which created this weird scenario where we were all just kind of in a holding pattern for 36 hours to see if we could finish. And they did finish in the sunset hours just before Monday evening.
That's right. They kept delaying the start of the golf on Monday. We're recording this on Monday evening right after the finish, so they kept pushing it back further and further. Somehow got it off. Course looked pretty good for having a tropical storm rain all day on Sunday. That happened. Henri reared its ugly head, but Tony Finau hosts the trophy. He's now number one in the FedEx Cup. He's probably now going to be in another Ryder Cup team with his performance this weekend as well. He was number 12 in the rankings just on that. Like, is he not going to be part of that team? Cam Smith moves up to third in the FedEx Cup standings, but John Rahm had a great week. He's still number two. He's still sitting there.
He did. Yeah, that's a good top three right there. If you just look at those three names, and obviously it was Finau and Smith in the playoff. And I mean, poor Tony Finau. This guy has needed some sort of break to get over this hump and get this vaunted second win. Our friend Sam Harrop wrote the famous song, "When Will Tony Finau Win Again?" almost a couple of years ago. So we've been waiting on this moment. I know he's rushing to the studio to record the sequel now. But regardless, It's great to see him back in the winner's circle. I will say he got a lot of help from Cam Smith because all he did was step up to the tee and make it to the tee box of the playoff. And then he immediately saw Cam Smith just hit one dead right, kind of just like the Schwartzel-Oosthuizen debacle in the team event. Yeah. Dead right into the water. You knew things were over at that moment. Finau just had to keep it in play, and that's exactly what he did. So, you know, for a guy that's just been riddled with seconds and thirds and bad beats and bad breaks, he finally got just a nice, easy, like, coast in sudden. If you've ever gotten a coast to victory in a playoff, Tony Finau just got one of those.
He really did. So now the question is Tony Finau going to win the FedEx Cup?
Yes, I know. Yes, we were asking for 5 years, when's he going to win again? And now it's when he's going to win $15 million, right?
It could be 2 weeks from now. We'll see. We could be 2 weeks and we'll find out what happens. We'll talk about the BMW Championship coming up in a little bit and that second event in the FedEx Cup. We'll talk about the FedEx Cup in general in a little bit too, because I think we got some frustrations we want to get out. But let's talk about the Women's Open out there. Yes. Because it was great.
It had a tough finish to watch. First off, congrats to Anna Norquist for getting it done and being there and being in position to win. The bottom line is though that we're all talking about the shank on the 18th from the greenside bunker for Kurt Skorsten as she was trying to tie Norquist for the playoff. This was tough to watch. You know, you and I know the shank moment out of the bunker. This is a 40, 50 yard bunker shot, nearly impossible for you and I, but for a pro, you'd expect a little bit more. The moment was just too immense, and it was just a terrible, terrible way for her to throw the tournament away. But hey, that's what it's all about. It's all about a marathon and these major championship events, and Norquist was there to pick up the pieces and get the win. So lots of high, awkward drama in the lady golf this past weekend.
There was indeed. Also, over on the Korn Ferry Tour, we had more players securing their PGA Tour card.
Yeah, I think it was four that locked them up. The ones that I noted, which you know are guys I've mentioned from the European Tour before, Lucas Herbert, who affectionately goes by Herbs and Spices on Instagram, one of the better IG usernames out there. And Matthias Schwab, another European Tour player that's won out there as well. So you notice with these Korn Ferry Finals, Mike, it's an interesting field because you get a mix of these guys who haven't secured their PGA Tour card yet, and then you get the European Tour players who have the status and exemption to get into this final tournament. So you see guys like Christian Bezaden who playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is definitely out of character, but it creates some really cool matchup. So four cards have been secured through this Korn Ferry Tour Finals, and they move on for the next couple weeks as well to see who the rest of those recipients are.
Can't wait to see who joins the tour and if they have a chance to win the FedEx Cup, which now rolls on to the BMW to brand new course in Maryland, Blank Slate at Owings Valley.
Yeah, I know next to nothing about this venue. I feel like we've said this a few times now because we had Congaree in South Carolina, you'll remember. Yep. We had the Concession in the Florida area for that WGC. Yep. The tour, you've noticed, is making a point to squeeze in these new venues in lots of places where they can to kind of test different audiences out. And this is another one of those examples. We're always used to the BMW Championship being kind of in the Chicago area. It's always kind of been a, you know, New York, Chicago, Boston, Atlanta thing for the PGA Tour playoffs. But they're trying out a new kind of DC metro area event to see if they can gain some traction there. Again, blank slate with the course, but you're going to be picking guys that are hot. And how are you going to stay away from John Rahm at this point now? Even when I feel like he didn't have his A game, Mike, he almost wins at Liberty National. So he's definitely going to be part of the card you see from me on Twitter this week at Course of Life 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to look at a lot of guys that did well over this week and just say, I'm not going to pick them. And of course, this is the last event where everyone starts at zero.
That's right.
Because yeah, so now, you know,
70 now, and then we're cutting to 30. Pretty sharp cut. We went from 125 to 70 now. Let's see. Saw Phil snuck in at number 70. He's the last guy in the field. So maybe he can make some hay, get up into that top 30. Bubble Boy's around that top 30. Rory's around that bubble. Kisner's around that bubble trying to make the Ryder Cup. So there's a lot of storylines here. I'm not so much worried about the $15 million this week because the guys will get themselves into contention that, you know, with their play. But I'm really curious about this top 30 bubble as we head into Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, I think Max Homa may be more focused on the $40 million that he's going to earn from being on Twitter. So I don't know if he's going to if he's going to make it here. I'm just going to say right now. I don't know.
Well played. Yes, Max Homa will be getting the pit money for sure for being the funniest tweeter on the PGA Tour. I don't know if he's going to get every single one of those $40 million though. So he might. It might be in his best interest to just, you know, make the cut and play the weekend or something like that. So we'll be watching the top 30 bubble again. They're going from 70 to 30 in the PGA Tour playoffs before next week's big money finale at the FedEx Cup Championship.
Yeah, how do you feel about starting the week at 12 under par? How do you like that?
Yeah, let's get into this for a minute, because essentially what people need to know is that next week when you tune into us, you're going to see that there's already leaderboard constructed before the tournament even starts on Thursday, because the season-long performance is basically adding up into this long point system that is slotting people at a certain amount of under par based on where they stand in the top 30. So the guys at the top, they've got strokes already to play with heading into the final week.
Yeah. You know, we said this a long time before when they started this last year before. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. Time has no meaning anymore over the last year and a half, thanks to COVID. But basically, we were always harped on how you could have someone different win the Tour Championship than wins the FedEx Cup. And they fixed it. But they fixed it in such a way that you don't need to be the best golfer of the weekend to win the FedEx Cup anymore.
You don't.
You just need to be one of the best golfers during the first two events. And in that third event, you just need to be pretty, you know, kind of better than average.
Yeah. And the example I like to cite is, I believe it was a year or two ago, Xander Schauffele shot the best 72 hole score in the Tour Championship of anyone that played that week. However, he was so many shots back that he did not win the aggregate under par total to thus win the tournament itself. So it creates this very awkward scenario of, the guy who is the most under par might not necessarily win the golf tournament. So having the head start, it's, I don't know. It takes a lot of the drama away from it. And I know that you wanted to bring something up, because you were reading about an alternate format that you heard tossed around from a fellow Morning Read Network contributor regarding how to maybe squash all this awkwardness surrounding the FedEx Cup scoring.
Yeah, this idea came from John Hawkins, who does the Hawk and Perk podcast on our fellow Morning Read, and he's got some articles for them as well. And he talked about doing a match play. I just love this idea, and I don't understand why there isn't more match play in golf. Because if we remember correctly, we used to have a major that was a match play way back in the day.
We did, and I will say they're right next to a bracket number. They're already letting 30 into the FedEx Cup. You just add two more, Mike. You get a perfect 32-man bracket. Or you could do eight groups of four, just like a mini version of the Dell match play. And then you spit it out into the top eight play in the weekend. And what it creates is essentially you could have a final match that truly is a for all the marbles match, where two guys have an equal right and say and start an even playing field with 18 holes to see who could win the $15 million. That is some unparalleled drama. You already know what drama that creates here in Austin when it's for $1.7 million. Imagine what that would create when it's for $15 million. The idea is, it sounds like something that would take so much to get into motion, and it's maybe far down the line, but I don't hate it at all.
He had one other idea that I actually loved here, which is that while, you know, playing at Atlanta is nice and all, wouldn't it be great if the final round was at like Pebble Beach? Wouldn't that be fantastic to have primetime golf for $15 million, match play golf for $15 million?
I mean, there's got to be some sort of deep seated relationship with East Lake, because that's the only thing that hasn't moved this whole time. You know, they moved Boston, they moved New York, they moved Chicago to DC. So you wonder if that final event will ever move. I think it's only a matter of time, because you've seen all the other playoff events move venues. I think that could be the next frontier, is testing out playing the FedEx Cup Championship at some new courses. So definitely some food for thought for future years.
It really is. We'll keep an eye on everything that happens. We'll have our picks up on Wednesday on Twitter. Just keep an eye there. And we'll be talking more about this next week, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we're sharing what's going on outside of the world of sports, what we're watching outside of the world of sports. For me this week, I am not watching a jury trial because I do not have jury duty.
Oh, wow. Large studio audience applause overhead here. Yes. Congratulations, sir. I knew this was a big moment for you. You were wondering if you were going to get selected. Yeah. I had been saying earlier, I was like, you totally would be the person that gets selected. Like, this is just the way the world works. But you got off. Congratulations. How did it all go down?
I got an email on Thursday saying jury duty has been canceled.
Oh, nice. You didn't even have to go in there. Awesome.
Didn't even have to go in. Didn't have to put on the suit. Didn't have to wake up at 6:30 and get in the car at 7 in a suit and drive an hour away to the courthouse because the one that's local is under construction, and then sit through jury duty with a mask on with all these other people and, you know, not having to worry about it. So, no jury duty.
Thank you for your civilian duty. Thank you for your service, Mike. I know it was really honorable what you did for your country. Yeah. So appreciate you being there for us when we needed you.
Hashtag America.
That's right. Love that. Speaking of hashtag America, the 50th state will be my segue, Hawaii. I'm watching a new show. It's very rare, Mike. I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm on a run of watching new things. I'm actually watching the new streaming shows that everyone's talking about. The one that everyone's talking about right now is White Lotus. I don't know if you've heard about it at all, but I've had the opportunity to watch the first couple episodes. It's based at a beautiful, beautiful island resort. There's something that's amiss because they tease kind of what the end of the season looks like. And all I know is a wife played by Alexander Daddario and a husband, they go on their honeymoon there and the husband's flying back by himself. We don't quite know what's happened from there, but we're slowly learning things episode by episode. So White Lotus, definitely an intriguing tune in, and it's got my attention a couple episodes in so far.
So is this a comedy, a drama, an action adventure? How would you categorize this?
It's a little of everything. There's humorous lines from the hotel staff. It's funny to see the dynamic of the people who actually work at the resort itself, too. There's a lot of funny scenes there. But then there is a little bit of a drama, not knowing what's coming around the next corner. It's a good watch. It keeps you on your feet, and you find yourself wondering. You keep asking for answers and thinking you know the answer. So that's how you know it's compelling TV. So far, so good for White Lotus.
There you go, White Lotus. I believe that's over on HBO Max right now. So you can catch it there, which, by the way, I think is one of the top three streaming services out there right now.
They've had some hits. They've played some hits recently. Well. They've had a good run. They have.
It's nice to have the entire Warner Brothers catalog at the ready for good bonus, for streaming. Yeah. So it helps. All right, let's switch over here to get into this week's guest. Alex, it's always great for us to showcase golf as a game that's truly for everyone. It doesn't matter your race, gender, background, ideology. It doesn't matter at all. Anyone can go out and play this game. And we've featured golfers on this podcast before with disabilities who play much better than us. And you've done it again. You've found another one who could beat us on our best days if we still had 10 strokes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he needs to give us probably 10 to 15 strokes you want to finish that sentence realistically. And I came across Jesse, ironically, through a PGA Tour caddy I follow too, who you may know out there in the golf world. So check out this week's conversation with Jesse Florkowski, and I'll put together an interesting parallel to a hot dog eating caddy that we all know very well on social media.
Can't wait to hear it. But first, before we get into this conversation with Jesse, we want to let you know that it is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use it all day. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. Phone caddy keeps you locked into your round because your phone is locked safely onto your cart. It'll be the talk of your foursome and a great gift for any golfer in your life. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a phone caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to desertboxgolf.com to get your phone caddy. And don't forget to use promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertboxgolf.com.
Next up on the tee from our neighbor to the north, Alberta, Canada specifically, we've got a 17-time disabled golf champion. He only has one arm on the course, I swear he doesn't need it. We're going to get into that, his golf game and everything going on in his life as well. It's Jesse Florkowski joining the Course of Life. Jesse, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great having you on. We'll get into how I originally found you in a little bit, but I first want to start at the very beginning with you. So people know you were born without your right arm. Now, do you remember realizing that difference as a kid? And I know you took up golf pretty early. So what was it like as a kid, you know, picking up sports and specifically golf and kind of figuring out how to play?
Yeah, for sure. So I actually picked it up pretty easily. My whole family has been kind of supportive throughout the whole thing. School was great. They allowed me to participate in everything that I was able to. And the way I started golfing is my grandparents, they were avid golfers, and they got me into the game at a very, very young age. I think I was holding a golf club before I could even walk.
Love it. Awesome. They started you nice and early indeed. That's cool. So it's a lifelong game
for sure.
Truly for you. So as a kid, what was it like, you know, competing as a kid golfer? I'm sure there was kind of a learning curve, but you've been playing your entire life. So I figure you were probably learning at the exact same speed, if not maybe faster than kids with two arms. Is that correct growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I always had the mindset of that if I think that I'm able to do something, that I'll just go out at 100% and whatever happens, happens.
That's so cool. Awesome. When was the moment when it started getting really good and maybe you knew golf was like something you wanted to keep in the rest of your life versus all the other sports we typically play as a kid?
For sure. So in grade 9, we had a new school that opened up. It was the Notre Dame Academy, and they actually had a golf academy was an option there. So I kind of attended that. And ever since then with that, it kind of stuck, and the love of the game just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. So I want to get in specifically to the world of disabled golf, disabled golfer events and tours and everything like that. I'm curious, you know, what the popularity is since you've been around it your whole life. When did you first realize that there were events specifically for disabled golfers and tours and whatnot? When did that come into your life?
Yeah, for sure. So I actually first noticed it when I was actually a junior at my home course. One of the members that was at the course, her best friend actually she was missing a leg, and she was in a member as ASRA, which is the Alberta Amputee Sports and Rec Association, which is not too far from me. And she was a member there, and she kind of got into me in contact with them, and I joined that. And yeah, my first event when I was 17 in BC, just west of us.
Very cool. Awesome. And take me through the specific idea that I didn't realize this until I started researching you for our conversation, the WR4GD. Explain what that is to golfers who know the world ranking as it pertains to the PGA Tour, European Tour and whatnot, and how that works for you.
For sure. Yeah. So I actually just kind of got started, I'd say probably about 2 years ago, the European Tour and the European Disabled Golf Committee. They kind of got something together where they can showcase the best disabled golfers. So you kind of just the tournament itself has to register to be a ranked event. And if that's the case, you just go there and play, and they kind of take your scores and go from there, and they rank you from top to bottom.
That's so cool. And I saw there was a recent European Tour event where they were having a disabled event, I believe, in conjunction with it as well. That's really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing kind of more of those exhibitions with both tours playing on the same venues as well, too. Let's talk about golf in Canada in general. I'm going to take a wild guess based on your age bracket range and how long you've been in the game that a guy like Mike Weir must be an idol of yours. Talk to me about the influence he has. I know he's basically a golfing hero in Canada, so I'm sure you grew up idolizing him on the course.
Oh, for sure. I've been watching him since I remember watching golf on TV, and for him winning the Masters there that one year, it was phenomenal to see. And not only Mike Weir, but all the other Canadian golfers, like there's Stephen Ames, Graeme Delaat, all those guys have been a huge influence, and I think not only to me, but to a lot of Canadian golfers.
That's so cool. Have you gotten to play with any of the Canadian professional golfers that people might know? I know we recently had Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes in the Olympics as well, too. And obviously Mike Weir. Have you got a chance to tee it up with any of them or meet them?
I have not. I've been to a few tour events that I've kind of followed them around, but nothing past that.
Okay, we got to get that together. I feel like a Mike Weir meetup definitely do. You'd love to meet a Canadian legend like you. It's got as many trophies for sure. One other Canadian that I have to get to, because this is how I originally started following you and hearing and watching your golf swing and seeing how amazing it was. We got to talk about your friendship with the Dale Trail. Everyone knows Dale as the hot dog king of golf. If you don't know, he's reviewing hot dogs all the time. He caddies for Abraham Answer as well too. I'm just curious how that came together and how you guys got to meeting.
For sure. So actually, Dale's actually from my hometown. And so he hasn't been caddying for some time. So he's been back home and yeah, we kind of got together and the rest is history. He's been doing a lot for myself and it's been awesome. I can't thank him enough.
Yeah, I saw, because I think it's travel related kind of why he can't help out with Abe right now, because he was able to get to a couple events that were overseas, but yeah, hopefully that's all going to change soon so he can get back on the bag. What was it like playing with him? I know as a personality on the course, following him on social media, he's just so no nonsense and laid back. Is he just like that on the course, or does he take on a different attitude?
No, he's definitely laid back, and if anyone ever has a chance to play with him, I would definitely hop on that opportunity. He is a blast, and yeah, he's an awesome friend, and like I said, I can't thank him enough.
I think he's got a sneaky good golf game too, doesn't he?
Really, really good. Yeah, just because he's been caddying and he hasn't been playing much, he's definitely got game.
And I got to ask, did you share a hot dog with the hot dog king himself, or did you at least see a review that he did?
Oh, for sure. Every time I play with him, I think he has a hot dog and does some kind of review on Instagram. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, everyone knows a famous American by the name of Dave Portnoy who reviews pizza, but for Dale, it's one snap. Everybody knows the rules. That's his favorite catchphrase. Yeah. So yeah, I love the merch and everything. And it was cool that you got to connect with him. He posted a bunch of content of you swinging on the course because he was super impressed with what he saw in your game. What are the typical reactions when people see the way you make contact with the golf ball, maybe seeing you for the first time on the course?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure a lot of them are surprised, especially I played 4 years of college golf, and I'm sure those guys probably didn't expect that I had some game. And yeah, they kind of just watched around and noticed when I hit a few balls or that I'm actually there for the same reason they are and try to win a golf tournament.
Definitely, man. Yeah, again, we're talking to Jesse Florkowski. He's at jflow.01 on Instagram. Definitely worth the follow. Let's talk about your game just in general. You know, I saw you hit, what an amazing 3-wood off the deck. I've seen you hit some drives, pro shots, and almost every type of shot there is. What's your game like kind of in a nutshell, and where do you excel the most on the course?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you look at my game, it's pretty similar to a lot of the lower handicap guys there, and I put a lot of work into it. And yeah, it shows on the golf course. But my strengths, I would say pretty much, I think anyone that watches me, I think nothing really stands out. It's kind of just even playing field and yeah.
Very cool. I'm curious, you know, is there ever a time, you know, where you wish you had a second arm on the golf course, or are you completely adapted to playing with one arm as you have your entire life that it never really even is a thought for you, no matter what lie or circumstance you have out there?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny. A lot of people come up to me and ask me if I wish I had two arms and this and that. And I tell them, I think if I had two arms right now, I think it would be a complete disaster, to be honest with you. I'm content just having the one there. And I think if I had another one, it'd be just in the way, and I am because of the way I look and the way that when I have one arm, and I'll just continue doing it. And hopefully I can inspire just one person throughout the day by the stuff that I do, then I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Absolutely. Myself being the first one for your day and many more who are listening right now. And that's so cool that you absolutely just wouldn't have it anywhere other way. It's all, you know, it shows how adaptive the human body and the mind is. Sure. Again, it's jflow.01 on Instagram. Jesse Florkowski, a 17-time disabled golf champion. Let's get into some fun questions for quick shots in the last few minutes of our conversation here. You also mentioned in your profile that you're a mediocre bowler. I got married into a bowling family because my wife was a bowler in college. Yeah. What's your average score these days?
Yeah, for sure. So I've actually been bowling since I was 6 years old. Gives me something to do in the wintertime. I don't do much golfing in the wintertime, so that is going to be something to do. But I've represented Alberta twice at nationals. I hold a 220 average in 10-pin bowling. I bowled 13 perfect games. So yeah, I guess I'm all right at bowling as well.
Yes, you have. Wow. Yeah. I was about to ask how many 300s. I guess my next question is, what was the best or most notable 300 you've had?
I would say probably my first one. I actually bowled my first one in youth bowling at the age of 15. And at that time, I believe I was like the fourth youngest in Canada to ever bowl a perfect game, and only the second one-arm bowler in the entire world to ever bowl a perfect game.
So cool. Love that. Now, it's interesting. We've had a couple of bowlers on this podcast as well that love to play golf, kind of similar to you. We've talked to Marshall Kent, who you might know. He talked a lot about generating spin on the golf course with the golf ball and how it compares to spin and bowling. We talked to Darren Tang as well, who just recently won the PBA Tour. And he talked about how he has a frame by frame mindset when he's on the course with every shot and every hole and treating them individually. What do you think about bowling and golf? Do you see any comparisons or parallels at all, having the two in your life this entire time?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of similarities. Like you said, mindset, the way you approach every, in infinite, so for instance, in bowling, for every frame is a different frame. So no matter what happens, you just continue going. Just like in golf, if you have a bad shot, you don't have to worry about it. Just don't get down on yourself and worry about the next one. And that's the same thing in bowling as well.
Yeah, you need that attitude. You got to forget about the bad stuff real quick to move on quickly. I appreciate that. Let's get to a fun question I like asking. Your dream foursome on the course, you and three other golfers. I have a feeling one of them might be a Canadian legend or something, but who's your dream foursome?
For sure. So yeah, definitely I wouldn't mind a Canadian there, like Mike Weir. Let's go with Tiger Woods, of course. I'm sure that'll be probably on everyone's bucket list. And you got to go with Dale's buddy, Abraham Answer.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. Good pick there. Got a recent Olympian as well as a Canadian and the GOAT. Nice, right. Nice foursome indeed. And our final question, we love asking our guests. I got to know about the 19th hole for you. Probably the most important hole for myself and a lot of the listeners out there who don't have quite the game that you do. But when you get into the clubhouse after a day on the course, what's your go-to pick for like your favorite meal and your favorite drink that you have to have?
For sure. Drink is definitely, let's go Captain Morgan spiced rum and Diet Coke.
Nice. And like that. Tried and true. Good exactly. Stuff. How about the 19th hole meal?
19th hole meal? You can't go wrong with a pork missile like Dale says.
Oh, yes, that's right. Another fabulous hot dog name coined by Dale, caddy of Abraham Answer there. The pork missile, tried and true indeed. Now, I know he is, from what I understand, very anti-ketchup. That's right. He doesn't put anything on them. Does that roll over to you? Do you take his belief on that, or are you toppings on hot dog?
Definitely toppings on hot dogs. I don't know how he eats a plain hot dog, but that's the way he does it. But I definitely have to have something on it.
Me too. I wondered how he endorsed that, but he's a pure man. He just loves his missiles, you know? It is what it is. So.
Exactly.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for hopping on so much the course of life. Looking forward to seeing more tournament victories from you, and definitely keep posting so we can see more of that amazing golf swing as well. All right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we're back. Great chat there with Jesse. I am team condiment on my hot dogs. I didn't even know there was a team dry. I mean, that's like, I'm trying to think of a good comparison here. Eating your hot dogs without condiments is like, for us, it would be like having a hamburger without great onions.
Basically, yeah. I mean, like, I was trying to make the comparison because, you know, you see Dave from Barstool Sports, who only reviews cheese pizza. He wants kind of a blank slate. But here with the, there's just so much emptiness, and the condiments just truly do make the full complexion and taste of the hot dog. Just a little ketchup or mustard, not completely bare, right? That's not a way to live, is it?
Well, you know, I will say, I am a fan of ketchup on my hot dogs. I know that's sacrilege. I don't care. Leave me alone. I eat what I want. But if you eat your hot dogs barren, dry as the Sahara Desert without any additional toppings on there. Like, you just took a piece of paper and you crumpled it up and put it and then put something brown and put it in there just so you could say you had a hot dog in a bun. And that's basically what you're doing. The bun has no flavor. The hot dog on its own, if it's a good hot dog, it has flavor, but it needs condiments. It's craving them. It's asking for them.
Okay, so this is perfect time to tell you that I am working the channels, and we're going to try and get Dale on. So we're going to have this conversation with Dale face-to-face, Mike.
I'm going to have to take some notes because he's going to have some valid cases for condiment-free hot dogs. I'm going to have to write down my zingers so that I can actually do this. I'm gonna have to be ready.
So stay tuned.
I'm going to go to the tape and I'm going to look at how Jon Stewart just tears apart Chicago deep dish pizza. And that'll be my inspiration for how I will tear down hot dogs without toppings on it. Speaking of which, Chicago dogs, that's good too. I mean, come on. That has toppings on it.
A lot of toppings on those. That could be in the works. Thanks again for Jesse joining. It was cool to see him and Deal profile his amazing swing. And Jesse's obviously going to be winning a lot more tournaments with that action he's got. So great having another impressive golfer as a guest on the podcast.
It is indeed. Before we talk football, let's talk a little baseball real quick. Let's just get this out of the way now. My Yankees are so much better than your Red Sox. Your Red Sox suck, just like a hot dog without condiments sucks.
This is amazing how this segment has changed in the last 30 to 60 days. Like, yeah. This could not have done a bigger flip. If you remember me recording from my visit home where we had just swept the Yankees and I was there to rub it in your face and we hit a gazillion home runs against you. Yep. I thought absolutely nothing could be wrong in the baseball world for me from that point out here. And now here I sit in complete and utter free fall. It's like sell the farm time in Boston, and it's full on panic mode as the lead just drifts further and further away in the AL East. I'm completely stunned. I really am.
I mean, the good news is you're still second in the wild card. Barely. Oh,
great. Awesome.
Barely. and the Yankees right now playing a really big series against the Atlanta Braves, two teams that have both on a 9-game winning streak. Sorry, Atlanta. As an NL team, I love you, but I'm sorry. I don't, you know, we're recording in the middle of a game right now. I'm sure the Yankees are going to win. I'm going to be eating my words next week.
Yeah, I'm quick moving on to football season, the way things are looking on the diamond right now. I'm done. I moved on.
I was on a polo season a few weeks ago. So, you know.
That's right, you were.
Let's talk football season. Game two's in the book. Who's your quarterback, Mac or Cam?
So here's the funny thing is it's been leaning Cam all of last week. Cam again got the look in the first team reps. He got the first team reps in the game. It was becoming extremely apparent that Cam Newton was going to be the undoubted starting quarterback week one. Now I've got 10% of doubt on that, Mike. You know why? It's because Cam Newton is unvaccinated, and unfortunately, he went away from New England this past weekend. He did not get the COVID test that he was required to get daily in the correct manner that he did. He's now in a 5-day quarantine in which he cannot participate in any team activities or practices all week. Is this maybe hope for Mac Jones to steal some first team reps and get one more shot at the starting job? Who knows? But there's a little bit of glimmer of hope there if you want to see the kid play.
What was it? The Jets who said their entire team is vaccinated, I think.
Yeah, there's a few now. The Falcons as well, too. And I think the Patriots are in the 80-something percent range. So those numbers have definitely been spiking up in the last couple months for a lot of NFL teams, which is perfect timing because we're 2.5 weeks away from the start of the season. So we need it.
It's just I don't understand why you're waiting for a shot. The FDA just approved
Did I get a bonus check for picking the correct vaccination that got approved first? I'm waiting for my stimulus.
I'm supposed to get a third shot now after 8 months. So, you know.
Good times. Love it. Yeah, that was obviously the preseason update. And then obviously we got to hit on a couple of quick hard knock notes talking about the Dallas Cowboys preseason special on HBO as well. Shout out HBO. They're really crushing it these days. But two important topics that I need to run by you, Mike. Wide receiver CeeDee Lamb finally showed up for camp. He's dynamic. He is a threat anywhere in the field. And the one thing that he absolutely needs with him at all junctures, every day, wherever he's staying, Mike, is he loves to just light a nice scented candle. Are you a big candle family? You big candle household? I don't really know the answer to that question.
So we do have a number of candles. We do like some really clean, light scents, nothing too perfumey or anything like that. And we do have one burning at least once a week. We'll light one. So, you know.
Yeah, that's about me too. Nice, and then the seasonal, I feel like maybe in the fall, winter months, I go a little harder on the candles. Just because of the cooler temps, and you get the apple cinnamon candle in the fall. You get the holiday Christmas tree one in the winter. It's the time of the season. It's the time of the year for the candle. So it's candle season for sure for CD Lamb. The other note we need to get to is thoughts on sunflower seeds, Mike. Zeke Elliott just grubbing on sunflower seeds on the sidelines since he wasn't getting into the second preseason game at all. What really is the darndest thing with the sunflower seeds, Mike, is that bag might be one of the most difficult bags to open in the entire world of food. How long has it been since you've actually bought a bag of sunflower seeds?
In November, it'll be 35 years.
Wow. You've never purchased one in the store.
I don't think I've ever had
10 years for me. It's been a long time.
I don't think I've even tried one before, quite honestly. Maybe I did when I was playing Little League, but I was much more of a big league chew guy than a nut guy. So
yeah, the only seeds I consume during the year, honestly, are pumpkin seeds Halloween time when I scrape the pumpkin out in October. That's about it. Yeah. I never really buy sunflower seeds. They're a nuisance of a food. They're incredibly hard to eat. The flavor just isn't there when it needs to be. And again, that bag, just incredibly hard to open. And Zeke Elliott showcased that firsthand on this past week's episode of Hard Knocks. So entertaining stuff from the Dallas Cowboys.
It's too bad. Just move on to something that's easier, like Big League Chew. There you go.
Yes, there's that's a timeless sideline snack right there. We should see more of that. Yeah,
we should. Let's hashtag always have a food.
Yes, and we have an announcement and a food thought as well, too, as we're getting closer to that start of football season. So I was thinking, Mike, you know what? I love going to college football games. I love going to football games in general. Didn't have the opportunity to do any of that last year, obviously, because of the world we live in. Fortunately, stadiums and fans are back this fall. So what I did is I figured out, you know what? I'm close to a lot of Division I schools here in Texas. I'm going to put together a little fall tour where I can hit some different college football stadiums and obviously get the food there, because the tailgate is like pretty much like 75% of the reason you spend these Saturdays at stadiums. Mm-hmm. We're all about the tailgate. So I've officially coined it the Texas Tailgate Tour. It's coming soon. The first stop's going to be in about a week or two as well.
Who are you going first? You got to tell us, you got to tease us on where we're going here.
That's right. So stop one is going to be Saturday, September 4th, opening weekend when everyone's in action. I'm heading down to San Marcos, Texas. Going to go to Texas State versus Baylor. That's going to be fun. Mm. I'm going to get tickets courtesy of my wife for my birthday. We already discussed it. October 16th, Texas versus Oklahoma State right here in Austin. Going to get that tailgate. And then I'm going to head to San Antonio in November as well, too. I'm going to go to a UTSA game against UAB. So just hitting all sorts of different little football stadium vibes. Going to get some photos and video of the tailgate there. Maybe go live if there's a really cool grill or smoker set up here. But just some fun ways to get everyone pumped for the football and the tailgate season that is just days away. Can taste it.
I can't wait to see it. Never been to a tailgate myself. I've never even been to a football game.
So, see, we're going to take you there. That's what everyone's here to follow. So
I
follow
will
us on Instagram.
Live through you.
It's at COL Podcast, and it's also at Always End With Food Pod. We're going to be posting on both those during the fall. And if you do listen to Always End With Food, thank you. If you haven't yet, and you like that conversation, we're definitely going to be talking about some football food coming up on this week's episode. So get excited for that.
We will, indeed. But for now, let's talk a little bit of food outside of the tailgate world as well. Brought to you by Tossie.
Yes, our friends at Tossie.
Thank you. Yeah. The perfect snack, right?
And very healthy, too. I've got associates of mine that are now on recurring orders with Tossie. So shout out to them for doing that and making that commitment. And they did it with promo code COL20. So they're saving 20% just like you could, Tossie.com/COL. So yeah, I'm all in that food football craze right now. We're going to be talking football snacks on Always End With Food later this week. What's your food update for the week?
So I have purchased two bags of black seedless grapes over the past week.
Okay.
And I like black grapes better than red grapes or green grapes. I think the flavor is better.
Yes.
However, comma, these bags of seedless black grapes have had seeds, and it is the most frustrating thing in the world when you are not expecting seeds in your grapes, only to find a hard, small object, several of them sometimes, within the grape you have just put into your mouth.
I would pay good money for a snapshot photo of the look on your face when you took that first bite in. You were expecting just a soft, you know, savory, fruity, gushy bite of paradise. Yep. You were kindly greeted by the thick, wooden taste of seed. Oh, man. Yep. Like, it's like biting into a tree when you're expecting something totally opposite. I feel so bad for you right now.
It's pretty depressing. And it, you know, grapes are an easy snack to pop in, and then once you get seeds in there, it's like, now this is going to take me like 10 minutes to eat these grapes.
So, and really, for the people out there, how do you negotiate that? Because I remember having this mistake happen to me a while ago, and I've stayed away from grapes for a while, and I may be partially scarred because of a moment just like this, actually. Yeah. Do you end up, like, you consume the grape? Are you spitting the seeds out every single grape of what's inside there? What are you doing?
So there are some grapes that don't have seeds in them still.
Oh, no. Thank goodness. It's just like a lottery.
And so there's a couple different things I've started doing. One is that these black grapes, at least that I got this time, are big, so I can kind of bite them in half. They're not teeny tiny.
Yes.
So you can just kind of bite into them and look and see, okay, are there seeds here? Can I kind of fish them out? Otherwise, yes, I'm spitting seeds. It's like I'm eating watermelon and spitting seeds and watermelon. In this case, it's grapes and I don't know where they are.
Yeah, so, I can tell this isn't bothering you at all. That's the best part. You know, I can tell you're really not fazed by this. It's not keeping you up.
You know how upset I was last week about pumpkin spice season?
Yes.
Turn that dial to 11, and that's where I'm at about this.
Yes, and you were wondering. Yes, everyone, I did get the 32 pack of pumpkin spice K-Cups, so we're already good to go here. It's already pumpkin spice season. So that's all the important food updates that you needed. Again, tune in to Always In With Food later this week, dropping Friday, and another new episode of Course of Life coming your way next week. Until then, everyone have a good week.